The most useful dimension of the Enneagram begins when we move beyond the typology and develop an awareness of how we interact with others and carry ourselves in the world. Aphoria wants to invite coaches, therapists, and organizational development practitioners in applying the Enneagram in areas of inclusivity, leadership, and team dynamics. Visit aphoriapartners.com for more information on deepening your knowledge and practice of the Enneagram. That's aphoriapartners.com or click the link in the show notes.
Elizabeth, we're really grateful to have you on the IA podcast. What we thought we'd do is just kind of introduce you to those listening. So why don't you give us just a brief kind of something interesting about yourself and where you're from?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm Elizabeth Worm. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, and my background is in theater. I
cannot wait for your session.
Thank you. Yeah. So initially, my bachelor's and master's is in like scripted drama and theater. Okay. But I also went through a certification program at a local improv. It's called the Improv Shop in St. Louis, taught by a lot of actors from Second City in Chicago. I found the Enneagram when I was in grad school, and I also was doing improv at the same time and realized that this is all ego work. So that was a great realization. I started crossing over and overlapping the two. There also is not a whole lot of overlap between scripted actors and improvised actors. They're two different communities. Mm-hmm. So I tried to bring them together in a couple different classes. The class didn't get enough participants, so it didn't run. But my graduate thesis was on using the Enneagram as a tool for leadership in the arts.
Leadership in or and?
In the arts.
In the arts, got it.
For leaders working with the nine types of actors.
Interesting.
So,
wow. Fascinating.
Yeah. So that's a little bit about my background and how those pieces overlap.
Do we have access to read that? Is it published anywhere? Because I'm wildly fascinated.
I have not gotten it published. I did meet with a book editor once. It was a hybrid publisher, so you have to put up a lot of money up front. Yeah. I was a mere grad student that didn't have any money.
Shocking.
So
So we're getting a GoFundMe page started for this.
I thought about just putting a PDF on my website, but I was not sure about copyright. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to lose my research to somewhere else. Sure. So, it's on the list of to-dos.
Yeah.
So wonderful. Excited. I'm wondering if you can back up just a bit to something you said and explain or define for our listeners what you mean when you say ego work. What does that mean?
Yeah. So ego, in my understanding of it, is a piece of ourselves. It's not our whole self. It's not our true self. It's the piece of ourself that gets our needs met and protects ourselves in order to survive. It's like the coat of armor that you wear or the mask that you wear. And essentially, the Enneagram describes nine egos, nine false personalities that help you, protects you, and helps you get your needs met to survive. So the premise of my workshop today is that improv is about doing vulnerable things, like taking risks and trusting things. And ego hates vulnerability. It tries to protect you from it. Mm-hmm. Ego is neither good nor bad.
Right.
It's just there. And we get to, depending on your level of consciousness, if you're aware of it, then you get to choose when ego protects you and you put up your armor versus when you lay it down. Mm-hmm. But often we're not offered that choice when we aren't aware, when we're not conscious to that. Mm-hmm. So improv is just one example that's full of things that ego doesn't like trusting each other, taking risks, being in front of an audience, mm-hmm. doing something new, not having a script. So those things put you in a position where most people, I'm not going to say all people feel vulnerable doing improv, but most people feel vulnerable doing something like that. And so it brings out ego, and it's ego knocks at the door and says like, hey, I'm going to come protect you. Mm. Well, there are at least nine different styles of how ego knocks at the door.
Mm. What's an example of how you help the people that you work with to work with that and not get so tied up in that sort of ego story?
Yeah. So one workshop I led was on, I took actors through the Enneagram for 5 sessions to really teach them. It was just pure Enneagram sessions. And then we did improv exercises and acting exercises. And there was... in part of the group, there were 3 4s and 3 9s, and they were all paired together for this exercise where it's a yes and exercise. So you say yes to your partner and you add something to the conversation, and then they say yes to what you said and they add something to the conversation. And the 4s and 9s were all paired up. So we had 3 groups of them. And I said, okay, go, like, see how it goes. And then we did it for 60 seconds or so. And then I said, okay, like, give me your feedback. What was that like for you? What was uncomfortable? What was comfortable? What did you have fun with? And every single pair, the 4s felt awkward and talked the whole time. The 9s also felt awkward and didn't say one thing.
Fascinating.
So we said,
can you confirm?
So we ended up, I said, okay, revise that exercise. 9s, you're going to start the conversation with one line. Mm. All you have to say is one line. 4s, you also have to respond with one line. Mm. And so it's going to be more of an equitable conversation. And so we did that, and it felt, just the rhythm felt better. I asked them for feedback. They said it just felt more equal and more positive, and they were both able to engage in the exercise. Wow.
Mm. So you had to improvise your improvisation activity.
Yeah. There's a, just in theater directing, like that's just, and in teaching, I think, you know, depending on the learning styles of people, there's, you come in with, I think there's a director named Peter Brook that I learned about back in grad school, but he talked about coming into this space with a formless hunch. And so you make a plan about like a lesson or curriculum, and then you come into the space, but you're also working with artists who are collaborative and they're also bringing something to the space.
I love that language.
Yeah. And so you throw out your curriculum, but there's still this hunch there that if nothing's working and nothing's coming from the collaboration, you can use that preparation in the space, but it's not me just telling you what to do.
Yeah.
And so it's a very collaborative experience.
Yeah. It sounds like you're teaching people how to hold on to the very limited amount of what they need so that they're able to be fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it.
Any type of inner work requires a confrontation of versions of ourselves that may be uncomfortable or scary. Sarah Jane Case invites you into a poetic exploration of who you thought you had to be through her new book, The Enneagram Letters. You can find this creative approach to your personal development anywhere you buy books online or using the link in the show notes.
I was curious too. Is there any way if you guys are up for it, could you set up a framework for us? Could we do like a brief kind of improv?
Yes, I'd
love to.
Sure. Okay. So I guess I would start with a yes and exercise. That's the, there aren't too many rules of improv, but that's one of the main
Absolutely.
Rules.
Absolutely.
So person A will say, I'll give you a suggestion. So let's say the suggestion was the beach. And so person A, whatever inspires you, it could be like, I hate the beach, I love the mountains, and then you talk about the mountains. That's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But you would say, we love going to the beach, and I'm so glad you came on this vacation with me. Person B says, yes, I'm so glad I went on this vacation with you too, and mom's coming up right now. Yes, I see mom coming up right now, and she's got pizza. Yes, and she has pizza, and and you just keep going. So it doesn't feel like a natural, you know, quotes, natural conversation, but it's just practicing giving each other gifts. Mm. And an improv is a collaborative experience. You have a team, and you're supposed to give gifts to the other person to set them up for success. It's not about you taking Love the that. One-liner or the punchline. It's about setting your partner up for success. Again, that's an ego exercise where you are saying, I'm not going to be the star. Like, I'm going to set you up.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Great.
Okay, so do I have 2 volunteers?
Could we... I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like in a row.
Okay, maybe go like around the circle.
Yeah.
Start with the 9.
I'm game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your suggestion is painting.
This morning I woke up and painted my bed.
I saw that you painted your bed. Did you end up seeing the birds?
Yes, I did see the birds, and the birds were pooping.
The birds were pooping, but we had the windows without screens closed.
Yes, the screens were closed, and the rain was pouring in the ceiling.
Yes, the rain was pouring in the ceiling, but I also loved it so much and decided to figure out where it was and open the ceiling and let it all fall on me.
I saw you bathing in the rain through the ceiling that you opened. And I also joined in with my gloshers.
Yes, you did join in with your gloshers. And I got out my phone and I recorded the whole thing.
You did record the whole thing. And I started calculating the Airbnb security deposit.
And scene.
That was great.
Amazing.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was really fun. Yeah.
Good. Some coaching I would offer.
Please do.
Is that it's easier to say statements as opposed to asking somebody a question. Mm-hmm. Oh. When you ask somebody a question, it puts the burden on them to come up with the answer instead of you giving them a gift of information. So that makes it a little bit easier. The other thing I would say is we say yes and instead of yes but.
Yeah.
Because if you say yes but, it negates what your partner just said. So you want to say yes and. It can get kind of tricky if you're in a fight on stage, you know. What's really fun, though, is if you're in a fight and your partner says, "You stole my cat." Yeah, I did steal your cat. And it was really fun.
Yeah.
You know, and so you just kind of get to take the blame for it and admit it and not play coy or defensive.
Yeah.
I think it's really great work for couples counseling.
Relationships. Yes. Yes.
Relationships.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have some therapists in to your session and say, let's do some improv work in our therapy session.
Yeah. I think it can be used all over. I know that for me, like, so again, playing coy or being sarcastic on stage, it's not what people want to see. People want to see the truth. And that's what improv is really about. It's not about the funniness or the comedy. What the audience wants to see is the truth, and we find the truth funny. Is that when we see our lives reflected on stage and we're like, he just said the bird pooped. Yeah, I saw that today too, you know. And yeah, it's just like this little chuckle, you know. And so when people say the truth on stage, it can be like a truth bomb and everybody's like, oh my gosh, what did they say? You know, how is this going to happen? We don't get to see that in real life as often.
Yeah.
So it brings people in. So yeah, telling the truth, truth telling, I think, is one of the themes of improv too.
Yeah.
And so a final question for people that are listening that want to do some sort of improv as part of some sort of inner work, Enneagram related, that sort of thing. What's like one practice that you give them?
I think growth work looks different for each person. So for a lot of people, I would say start by practicing telling the truth. There are a couple Enneagram types that always tell the truth or are not afraid of the truth and like to speak it pretty boldly. So for the people who speak their truth boldly, I would also say identify the emotion in which you're speaking in, because sometimes you're not aware of your emotions while you're speaking. And we use emotion to heighten improv. And so that's another part of what we're going to talk about later today. But
fascinating.
Yeah. So I would say tell the truth and then identify the emotion in which you're telling the truth.
Very cool. Thank you so much. Yeah. This is really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hopefully the rest of these interviews are going to be this fun.
I know, right? And aside from today's workshop, where can people find you?
Yeah, so my website is called Not Just Ennea Coach, because I teach or coach acting and Enneagram. So it's www.notjusteneacoach.com. My email is eliswurm@gmail.com. And you're free to reach out to me, email or website.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.